Hey there, I'm your host Seth. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is a podcast that inspires positive conversations about safety, whitewater, education, and any other topics that have a beneficial impact on this amazing community I've grown to enjoy so much. So sit back, listen, and most importantly, brace yourself. On this episode, I'm joined by Justin Thompson. He's going to share with us the creation, history, and the beneficial impact of a whitewater race in Kentucky called the Jess Cup. All right. Well, welcome, Justin, to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Really excited. This is kind of a different podcast. You are currently on the banks of a park and play spot, which I've never done a recording like this before, so I'm really excited about that.
If I can get it. It's kind of a green wave today.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you see it or not.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
The guys that were here just went downstream, but or I could have got a little footage, but...
Man. Wish I was there with you. It looks a ton of fun. Where is that spot exactly?
This is actually the starting line for the Jess Cup.
Awesome.
So here, let me give you a little pan at the dam. So can you see the dam?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's being removed, and it's actually going to be removed next Monday. They're going to start removing that dam. I'm on the banks of Elkhorn Creek, and Jim Beam Distillery is directly behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And originally this was a water suppression dam for fire suppression. They don't need that anymore, so they're removing it. There's been quite a few fatalities in this dam. The last one being a couple years ago, I helped find the body out here.
Really?
It was just a wreck boater.
Gotcha. Man. Well, interesting. Yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that dam in a little bit as well, when we kind of get into the Jess Cup and all that, as you mentioned. But if you wouldn't mind, before we get into all that, giving us a little bit of introduction about yourself, what you do for work, how you got into whitewater and all that kind of jazz.
My name is Justin Thompson. I started boating in 96. Because I was working at a camp in Cedar Mountain, North Carolina, High Rocks, mm-hmm. as a bike instructor for the summer. And I just thought kayaking was cool. And I was a broke college student, but they said, hey, here's a pro deal and you can get a boat. And so I think it was $600 out the door for a Dagger Outburst.
Yeah.
And, I didn't have a PFD or a skirt or a helmet or a life jacket, anything. I didn't have a paddle. So it was still quite a few years till I actually got into kayaking, other than just making all the rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, paddling by yourself, boofing, drowning machine, low head dams.
Good.
Man. Other than that, let's see, I've kind of always been into the outdoors. I ran cross country and track in college at Morehead State University and in high school. And I've raced mountain bikes, triathlons. I think I just wore out my lower body, and now I'm trying to wear out my upper body to balance it out.
I gotcha. Very fun. Well, if you could tell us kind of like, what are some local rivers around there that you paddle often?
So I could send you some links to, there's mostly it's all flood water.
Mm-hmm.
Got some really fun ones. Muddy Creek is a real good one. Another one here in Frankfort is Benson Creek. They get large, 10, 12 feet. Let's see, Plum Creek, Otter Creek, Callaway, Marble. Kentucky's full of them, really. And the farther you go down into Daniel Boone, the more we have. So Rock Castle, you have Pittman Creek down there, Big South Fork. Cedar Creek in Owenson. I know I'm forgetting some, but it's mostly just, it's almost all flood. Mm-hmm. So until American Whitewater kind of gave us gauges, it was all just reading from the books. Yeah. And if you read from the book about like the Russell Fork Gorge, you probably would have never done that river because mm-hmm. it's scary with the write-up that obviously probably to deter people that aren't really qualified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. That is one thing I've noticed is American Whitewater. A lot of the descriptions are a little scary. There's a buddy of mine, Ethan Talley, who does a good bit with the write-ups and give it a stuff with American Whitewater. And he's told me that, yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a deterrent for, like you said, people who are rather unqualified or otherwise. But what boat you paddling out there on the waves today?
Right now I have a 4.0 Rockstar. I've had 7 Rockstars and 5 All-Stars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of boats in my shed. I just picked this one up a couple weeks ago. Just because I beat my gear up pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's for. Yeah. Got to use it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to talk about the Jess Cup, as you mentioned. We had a chance to talk about that previously and just sounds incredible. And really sad I actually missed out on it this year. But if you could kind of give us a little background about what the Jess Cup is and how that got started.
So initially, this was a race among friends, and it was initially called the Not NPFF race. So the National Paddling Film Festival has been held here for, I might not be right on this, but it's around 20 years now. Mm-hmm. They have it at Rupp Arena. It's in the last 4 or 5 years moved to Buffalo Trace Distillery. So the National Paddling Film Festival is just a festival of whitewater, really, for stills, for videos, conservation. And so every year, except last year, well, actually, no, it did happen last year, but usually it happens in February. And this year, let me give them a plug real quick. But the NPFF is happening in April. I think it's either April 20th or 22nd. Mm-hmm. And it's virtual this year. You can buy tickets online. You can watch all the films, see all the pictures that have been submitted. I believe 2 weeks before the actual date. And I believe it's $35 for unlimited access to the videos and the films. And what the NPFF has always done is given these credit that they have received through people coming into the door and the raffles, the boats donated from Jackson and Canoe Kentucky here in Frankfort. They've raised probably maybe $20,000 a year, almost every year for American Whitewater.
Wow.
There's local breweries that donate to that. But long story short, the NPFF was just always Friday, Saturday, and everyone was here Saturday afternoon. So people started saying, hey, let's do a race. And it kind of became a rivalry among two different clubs, the Bluegrass Wildwater Association in Lexington and the Viking Canoe Club in Louisville. And everyone just kept getting faster and faster and faster boats. Now the boat of choice is the Piranha Speeder. There was close to 20 maybe in this year's race. They got first and second. overall. And so, but since that time, the association with the MPFF, or the non-association with the MPFF for liability reasons, has the race has just grown into kind of its own standalone event, and another opportunity to help raise awareness. Well, first of all, for addiction rehabilitation, and second, for American Wine Club. So the MPFF now is formally known as the non-MPFF race, is now the Jess Cup. And transitioning into that, Jess Albright was a great friend of the entire community here, the Albright family in general. His brother Delaney, John and Sharon Albright. John has been teaching kayaking ever since I started kayaking. He was the president of the Viking Club for a while. And when I met Jess, he was probably 14, 13 maybe, and paddling hard stuff. Progressing very quickly, training with locals around here for the Green Race, for the Rust Fork Race, and the non-MPFF race was just bragging rights. Fastest man in Kentucky. And he'd get these fiberglass wave hoppers and crazy light boats that no one else could handle, and he'd beat all of us. And I'm not exactly sure the date, but I think it's been about 4 or 5 years. But unfortunately, he left us too soon. He had an overdose, and he's not with us anymore. So, his dad used his old helmet, and he made a trophy for the Jess Cup. And, this year the BWAs took it home. Out of the 13 times, the Vikings have had it 10, and the BWA have had it 3 now. So I'm hoping we come back next year in force and put together a little bit faster team than we had this year.
Man. Well, I know you've been involved with the Jess Cup for a while now. Do you have any highlights, or maybe from a personal race or just from the race in general, maybe some awesome stories?
So let me just give you a kind of there's so many highlights, and we do have some pretty cool drone footage of previous races. So the race is free. It doesn't cost anything to enter. You bring a six pack or a William Neely poster or something to throw in the pot, and once the results are tallied, you get to pick a prize when your category is called. So the way that we started is it was on a moving river. It's not much of an eddy. So the longer your boat is, the less your number is. So I was 3, I believe. So Jess is number 1. So no one ever has number 1. There was another person with number 2, but they didn't show up, or I went behind them or something. But anyway, the longest boats, anything over 10 feet, starts bow to the shore. Anything under 10 feet starts stern to the shore. And they're all lined up side by side on the bank. So when the first gun goes off, all the inflatables, air mattresses, hot dog, inflatable hot dog, the SUPs, the rafts, inflatable canoes, they all start 1 minute in front of everyone else. Then a minute later, the second gun goes off and all the short boats go zooming out, and the long boats are trying to turn around, and it's just mayhem. The first rapid's about half mile downstream, and everyone comes together there. And so there's always swims. There's always rubbing and bumping and spinning people out, and not on purpose, sometimes on purpose. But it makes it so much harder, but it also is kind of the whole theme of the event, to get out there and bump around and battle with your buddies.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so awesome. Ah, man, I really got to get up there next year. I'm so sad I met you right after the, when did it happen this year? I forgot.
February 27th was this year's date.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does have to be postponed. We actually had it scheduled for the 20th and it was 9 degrees night before. So there was ice on the creek, but it was mostly because the banks were real icy. So we postponed. We've had to postpone before due to high water.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the dam's going to be removed, the race will be one more mile long and there won't be any high water stipulations anymore. So technically about 5,000 CFS, you can't get around the dam anymore. There's no more safe portage.
Gotcha. Hmm. Interesting. Well, how can people find out about the Jess Cup the easiest? Where can they go to find out about that?
Well, on Facebook, there's an actual Jess Cup site, a page, I guess. But the easiest, Facebook seems to be the thing that connects everyone nowadays. So it's easiest to find out information about that. There's links that would be in the Viking Canoe Club page. And there's specifically a Viking Canoe Club race page that is geared towards the Jess Cup as well. Mm-hmm. Man, it's so grassroots. I don't know how to find out that much about it. We don't really publicize. Last year we did have a guy that was a sponsor that does something called the Waterman Series, mostly here in Kentucky. And he did a little more publicizing than usually happens. The only thing that we do usually is it just probably the same with you, whitewater kayaking in your area. Everyone's kind of connected. It might be, it might be a RPM page, or it might be a, a ripper page, or it might be a gear swap or whatever. But I feel like sometimes when I see something once, I see it 10 more times.
Yeah.
Now, as far as like local, it's easy for everyone to know when it happens. It's almost always in February and it's all over Facebook. But people come from Tennessee, West Virginia. I don't know how you find out about it. You just happen.
Yeah. Those are the best.
That's a good question.
And I'm sure it seems like it's been a big benefit to the community. Like, do you have any examples of how it's benefited?
This year, we collected $1,300, almost $1,400 for the Healing Place, which is an addiction rehabilitation facility that I think they have 4 or 5 different branches. That was a choice of the Albrights to donate to that one in particular. And we're totally happy to do that. Something that's really important to us as a river family is pretty important. Mm-hmm. And then it was almost $1,400 that was donated to American Whitewater. Bethany Overfield came to the race. She's the membership coordinator. So she sold some memberships. And let me plug them too real quick, because this year's been a weird year. And, you don't have Golly Fest. And you don't have these races. You don't have these gatherings. And a lot of people just don't renew their memberships. So I think it's good. It was a good opportunity for her to get out and get a few new memberships and have some people renew. And she donated some stuff from America Whitewater. Piranha Kayaks donated a Loki. Mm-hmm. And Southern Paddle Sports of Louisville donated a Ripper. Mm-hmm. And those two boats, along with the gear that was donated from Kentucky, a whitewater duffel, straps, things along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then the swag from American Whitewater were all in the raffle. So mm-hmm. our money, our $2,800 or something like that was generated because of those generous donations from Piranha and Southern Paddle Sports.
Yeah.
New Kentucky.
Wow. That's incredible. It just sounds like such a cool event. I wish there were more like that, honestly.
Yeah, it's very fun. If you've not seen the video, it's real easy to find on YouTube. Just look up Jess Cup 2020 and Jess Cup 2021, and both of the drone videos are pretty good. You can see just a whole lot of long boats out there.
Well, speaking of boats, real quick, what's like the weirdest? I know you said air mattresses and hot dogs. So what's the weirdest one you've had out there or most interesting?
Well, there was an inflatable couch this year. they always win their category. Those guys always win. that's about it. I mean, I've seen a blow up doll in a dynamic duo racing. That's about the air mattress, the hot dog. The hot dog was harder. They were falling a lot. they were falling into every rapid, I believe. So, this year we had about four subs. There's a bunch of pros that came down. They've come down in the past to race from the Nolichucky area. Mm-hmm. Jack Nelson and Dale Swanson and Aaron Cook is a NRS paddler. He lives on the banks right upstream about a mile from me. Or he doesn't live there, but he owns some property there. Mm-hmm. So every year it fluctuates. You know, we have some Chris Hipgrave won last year, mm-hmm. But he couldn't make it this year, thankfully. Because that guy is fast.
Yeah, I'm sure, man. Well, you know, you and I met recently because you came to pick up a boat that I had sold you. It's close to a 20-foot like surf ski, Kevlar carbon surf ski. And I just was curious how the training was going for that with that boat.
I'm going to wait until I get a skeg because, that boat is hard to paddle. Now, I've had some hard ones out before. I'm going to need a lot of training in that before I'll take it out here mm-hmm. because I swam in 5 feet. Like, I put on a flat leg and instantly – so there's zero primary and there's negative secondary, I think. So like once you hit the edge, you're going. There's nothing to hold you up. So I don't know if I told you, I paddled it the other day, 2 miles, and it took me an hour.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted. For such a fast boat, I've never gone so slow.
I know. Yeah, it took me days on days of just flat water to even get it to where I could go for an hour. Cause it is tiresome, man. A lot of bracing and a lot of hips.
Well, I got to give you a lot of credit for not doing it with the rudder because I know I have an Piranha Octane surf ski. And when the rudder's up, it's a different boat. When it drops down, it's very stable.
Yeah.
But this thing, I it wants to be upside down, I feel like. So
well, maybe we'll get good enough at it and take home first place next year. I hope so.
There's some good pictures of some Carbonology surf skis swimming at S-Turn. Oh. So really, that's the hard part. You know, if you can get through all the short boats and all the other long boats and mm-hmm. in the rapid without flipping.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
maybe. Well,
maybe.
Man, I hope I'm up there to see it. Goodness.
Absolutely.
Gotta get up there. Wherever I'm at, I'm gonna try to get up there. Man.
It's usually February. I'm pretty sure that's going to be our date. I know some people have asked it next year, the MPFF. I'm not sure if it's going to be, it'll probably be live. And actually it may be a good thing that it's going virtual, because it gives everyone the ability to see it now worldwide, as mm-hmm. well as next year they can probably have it set up to do virtually and in person. Because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone likes watching kayak videos and drinking beer. So.
Very true.
They go pretty good together.
Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, let you get back to your session out there. But I really do appreciate you spending the time to talk with me. Before we kind of part ways, do you have anything else you want to add or anything about the Jess Cup?
No one come and try to take it from us. Like, you know, all these surf skiers and fast dudes out there. Don't bring a fast team here, because we have enough competition. the way it scored is you have to have five people. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a cross country race. If you're familiar with that, if you get first place, you have 1 point. If you get second place, you have two. And the least score wins. So mm-hmm. you add all your places up on your team. And then once you, if you're a tie, then your sixth place guy mm-hmm. does the tiebreaker.
Gotcha. So, nice.
So yeah, find a team down there from South Carolina or, shoot, I know those Asheville guys are fast.
Yeah, we'll have to get a crew of them to come up there.
Yeah, well, it's not like it's hard. It's a class two. It's not a hard creek, but it's the boats that are hard.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you got to be used to paddling those boats.
Yeah, and we're not.
I'll hold on to this one for you if you want to come down and race the speedster.
Oh, goodness. Goodness. I could barely stay upright in a no wind pond, so we'll see.
Thanks again for tuning in. As always, I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, suggestions, or you'd like to be on an episode, please reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. Thank you again to Belle Kinney and Cole Stinson for their help with our amazing artwork and music.